It is Thursday, and for the last time this year, we bring you Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, we have Cynthia Dill, an attorney and former Democratic lawmaker, Dick Woodbury, an economist who served in the legislature as an independent, and former Republican state lawmaker Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing. They spoke, as ever, with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. I thought for this segment, the final of the year, we might look back on the big political story of 2016. And it's probably pretty obvious of what that story is. But I'm going to ask you anyway and to talk about maybe why. That is, why people would remember this election as a major political story. What's the real story behind it, Cynthia?
The real story behind the 2016 election is that the American population has pockets of deeply disgruntled and angry people who were not rational and went to the voting booth and chose somebody who is going to carry out an agenda that's against their economic interests. And hopefully the story for 2017 is that we will learn the error of our ways and do better down the road.
We'll get to 2017 in a moment. But back to this past year. Meredith, you were shaking your head. You disagree.
I disagree. So 2016, I mean, everybody from every side of the political spectrum is basically going, oh, my God, that was the craziest ride we've all ever had. I mean, we've certainly reached new highs, new lows, and everything in between. But to me, what came through and what we saw in November was that, in fact, a huge population and percentage, something like, 89% of the geography of the United States of America voted for Donald Trump. That's a huge, huge number. I mean, it's really, with the exception of some metropolitan areas, the rest of the United States are in obviously felt it was time for a change. So people need to sort of understand that instead of saying that they were, deplorables, because it was a huge population and they're not all deplorable. And, people are hoping the best for the United States. And we all at this point, he will be our president, and we all need to hope and support to make it the most successful he can possibly be for all of us.
Dick?
Yeah, I'd mention two things. I think one is the rejection, I'll say, of the mainstream press as a source of commonly held truth. That, the New York Times saying all the news that's fit to print, as if, there we can get our truth there. It's just not it anymore. It's, now we get our truths from Facebook and Twitter and with all its fake news, and we kind of choose our truths. So that's one, is the rejection of the mainstream media as a common source of understanding and truth. The second is a rise of nationalism over a sort of long-term period toward more globalization. And so those are two things that I'd sort of label in 2016.
Yeah, and I just want to come back to something. The fact that I said there are disgruntled people who voted for Donald Trump does not mean that I've cast judgment upon them as being deplorable. I think it's in, it's just, you can't dispute the fact that there was a lot of angry people who went into the polls and voted. And with respect to the numbers, I mean, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by almost 3 million votes. I mean, it was a stroke of luck that Trump got Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, the battleground states that really gave him the election. But I don't think we can deny this factor that there is large swaths of the population who are really angry, and that fueled a lot of the election.
Let's look ahead now to the coming year. Give us some predictions that you would feel confident about looking back a year from now and saying, see, I told you I was right.
Well, one of them is that I think that we're going to see Janet Mills and Paula Page come together and challenge ranked choice voting. I think they both have somewhat of a personal political stake in that fight, but also ideologically are opposed to it. And I think candidates such as Roger Cates will, fall victim to their challenge. I don't think ranked choice voting is going to make it through the 2018 primaries, because I do expect there to be a challenge. I also predict that there's going to be at the national level, a joint commission or committee tasked with investigating the Russian hacking of the election. And I do believe that there is going to be a finding of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. And that'll be interesting to see what Congress does about that. And then lastly, my prediction is that marijuana is going to become a cash crop, literally, in Maine, and potentially could help bridge the divide for Democrats between the urban Democrats, the metro Democrats, and the rural Democrats. I think that that's an interesting opportunity to bring, you know, the farmers and the city folks together.
Meredith?
Well, I think ranked choice voting is going to be in for a rocky road. We'll see how that goes. I think that we may see some progress with the legislature and the governor. I think that Sarah Gideon's going to run a fair and balanced House of Representatives, so I'm hopeful about that. On the national stage, gosh, I am. I think that people are going to find out that Donald Trump is not all the things that everybody thinks that he is, and trying to understand the whole hacking thing. Did it really happen? What happened? Who knows? They'll figure that out. I don't see that playing out as a major story. I think the big major story is America taking back America, and strong patriotism. And this going to be the big decision will be about our nationalism as far as our manufacturing. And do we really get into that and make some huge changes? And will that really reverse the economy for the United States and bring back our manufacturing?
Dick, how do you see 2017?
My big prediction for 2017 is that we see a reemergence of an engaged civil rights movement that's kind of reminiscent of the 60s. And it's there was an article last week by a University of Chicago professor, Harold Pollack, talking about his own feeling of, you know, what's his responsibility in the world in response to a Trump presidency. And it talked about civil disobedience, peaceful civil disobedience, which, of course, is a centerpiece of what was happening in the 60s. And he's talking about it as a University of Chicago professor. We saw some of the beginnings of it in response to the Dakota Access Pipeline as just sort of one place where you saw civil disobedience. I think we're going to see a lot more of that really engaged, re-energized civil rights movement that, you know, we've seen in other times in American history.
Well, and I would say, and that, in my view, is what taking America back means.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.